Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody's Thursday is off to a great start. I know mine is. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man. It is Thursday. It is football. The season is rolling right through as the Jets play their third game in 11 days, which is a bear. And you have to go against a physical team like the New England Patriots tonight. So that should be a contrast in different styles. It should be a lot of fun to watch. Because I said earlier, I think New England, I think they're a well-coached team. Now, the talent ain't there. But, like, as far as, like, beating themselves, they just go out there and they battle and they fight and everything like that. So it'll be interesting. And then another game for Aaron Rodgers, who's working his way back, working some of the rest. You still see glimpses of Aaron Rodgers in some of these throws the last two games they played. So we'll see how much better he is.
Yep, I would imagine he'll be better. Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like Kirk Cousins, right? Yep. They're coming off the same injury. Aaron got hurt a little earlier, so he has a little bit more time. But he looked better in week two. Obviously, they won in week two with a little assist from Will Levis. Maybe they'll win tonight. I would imagine that they probably will because the Patriots aren't particularly good.
No.
I know that, you know, they've played some close games. They won week one and then they went to overtime in week two. I do think, you know, talent probably catches up to them over time. 1-1 now probably turns into 2-6, which probably turns into 3-11. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a good year for the New England Patriots, but nonetheless, that's right here on the sports on the radio station tonight. Joe Patrick's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour as we will start turning the page. We've already started turning the page, but continue turning the page to the Chiefs and looking ahead to Sunday Night Football and the Braves with a win yesterday, just sort of staying alive,
trying to stay afloat.
It's going to be tough. They got 10 games left. The Mets are playing really, really well. They're trying to track them down. They're two games back right now. Nice that the Mets have to play the Phillies over the next four. But, I mean, it's going to take an 8-2, 7-3 finish to get in.
Right.
And then when you get in, then you're a wild card team and you got to start winning then too. So, I mean, the Braves are where they deserve to be because of the way that they've played and the injuries that they've dealt with and all of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, yesterday was the way they win. Starting pitching was really good. Got a couple hits. Marcelo Ozuna got a home run for the first time in almost a month, which is nice.
Yeah, man. I didn't realize it was that long. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But he got him one. Michael continues to play well, man. He really, really does. And Schwelly. Just keep doing Schwelly things.
He's awesome. I mean, outside of Sale, who's the story of the year, I mean, he's going to win the Cy Young and being hurt as long as he was and all that. Just a brilliant signing by the Braves. Schwellenbach is probably story number two, right?
Really,
I mean, well,
good,
positive story number two.
Yeah.
Story number one is probably, damn, injuries. Everyone got hurt.
Yes.
This season sucks.
Yes.
Didn't expect it to be like this.
So Ozzie had a nice, is having a nice rehab start.
Yeah.
So I mean,
right-handed Ozzie,
right?
Like, by the
so
way.
He's having a nice rehab start and everything. But you're right. I mean, you're here. I mean, of course, you always put it on yourself. We're here because we didn't win enough games. But, I mean, anybody and everybody knows why.
Yeah.
And so now you're in a process where you're up, your backs are against the wall. You can't let anything slip. You know, like you one of those moments, man, that one just got away from you. You can't have those moments. You can't have a that just got away from us moment or series or anything like that. You need to win series, yes, obviously, but you need to win games, meaning all of them. Because you can't trust winning 2 out of 3 or something like that. You need to go win all
of them.
Not when
the Mets win 9 out of every
exactly,
damn 10.
Because the Mets they're playing their ass off right now.
Feels
man.
Like the Braves 2 years ago when they were tracking the Mets down. Remember that?
And they just couldn't lose.
Just couldn't lose.
They couldn't lose.
What was the fat guy's name that was freaking out every time they would win a game, the Braves would? The guy, I don't remember who. You guys know who I'm talking about, right? That Mets fan, the big guy. That's what I feel like right now. It's like, damn,
you feel fat?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that guy right there.
That guy. No, I feel very fit.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But I just feel like the Mets never lose.
They don't.
Man.
They're playing well, man.
Take a step back, fellas.
They're playing really well. And you know, like you said, they got the Phillies coming up. You just don't know how that's going to go. But I think,
hopefully bad.
I mean, obviously you want it to go bad.
I do.
But I think the one thing with the Braves is they can't really worry about that because they don't take care of their business. It really don't matter.
That's true.
And so you're in a situation where I know you want to, you know, what they call it, scoreboard watching and all those different things. But if you don't go out there and handle your business, it don't matter because the Mets are they're hot.
Yeah. The good news is it does matter, though. Like, if you handle your business, you have the Mets for three.
Right.
So as long as you just you stay within striking distance before that series.
That's next week, right?
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I believe so.
Okay.
So you get them for three before the final series of the year against the Royals, which, by the way, we've got another family four-pack of tickets to give away to that Royals series, the final game of the season, at some point during the show. So be listening for your cue to call. But, yeah, I mean, that's the great part about it is as good as the Mets are playing – you get your crack at them.
Yep.
You get the final say.
But you got to take care of business up to that.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't, because if they get four games ahead of you, then it doesn't matter.
You can sweep them
and you still don't catch them. So
it don't matter.
Yeah. You got to maintain that two. Maybe you can make it one if you do well this
weekend. You got to be at least two when you play the Mets.
Yeah, right.
At least two. You got to get right where you are right now.
Right, because then if you sweep them, then you're ahead of them.
Exactly. So you got to be at least two right here, because you don't want to have to go into that Kansas City Royals series three, mm-hmm. you know, and because it seems like and I don't want to jinx anything like that. It just don't seem like it's going to go the way we want it to go. Yeah, and I'm just basing off how this season is going, because it's always been we get up, all these home runs and everything, and then you lay a damn egg to the damn Reds, mm-hmm. you know. And that damn going, and I know they won, and so it's hard to complain in a win, but damn it, Soler. Like, now, De La Cruz is fast as hell.
Yeah.
Because he was on it. By the time he got the ball, he was sliding in third.
Yeah,
like, that dude can pick him up and put him down.
He's fun to watch.
The best, though.
He's fun to watch.
But damn, so I'm like, okay, it's hit out there. Then I'm thinking, he got a run to his left.
It's not pretty. Not
bro.
Pretty.
It really isn't.
It doesn't tend to go well.
I don't know. But hey, they got the win. You can't complain. We're not going to complain about winning. They got that one. And hopefully it's a 1 o'clock game today, a nooner today. So let's see if they can go ahead and get another one. Hopefully the damn Mets can lose. Hopefully.
Chris Sale on the mound, so you feel good about that. Grant McCauley will join us in the noon hour, about an hour from right now, get his thoughts on the final 10 games and everything it's going to take and all that good stuff. So we'll get into that conversation. And like we mentioned, week three begins tonight on the radio station. The most important part of week three for our purposes is going to take place on Sunday night right here in Atlanta. The Kansas City Chiefs come into town, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. I know Raheem Morris was on with the guys yesterday, and we'll let you hear some of that throughout the show. But a real opportunity to go from where things were at about the two-minute warning on Monday night against the Eagles. Everything changed in those final 2 minutes. You come out here on Sunday night, and you beat the Chiefs, and you're 2-1. And that's the direction that things are headed in. What a different deal that is than it could have been if Saquon catches that pass or whatever. It's amazing how quickly things change in the NFL. The Falcons are 60 good minutes away from things changing drastically.
Yeah, I mean, you can go into a situation where you're 2-1, and you have a big time win over the Kansas City Chiefs, and coming in to when you talk about a showdown with your division rival and everything like that, and talk about New Orleans, who has the Eagles as well.
Yeah,
they play the Eagles.
Interesting one.
Yeah, they play the Eagles this weekend.
Eagles, conversely, right? Yeah. Like, they looked like they were going to be 2-0 and everything was going to be great. That game slips through their fingers, and now maybe they go get drubbed by the Saints. They're 1-2,
yeah,
and that's a whole different thing.
It's so tight, and it's so much, and it's always hard when you say it's a small margin for error or something like that. It's still so damn early. Mm-hmm. It's still so early in the season to sit up there and say that. And being 2-1 or 1-2, it's not one of those things where it's a burial. I never thought it was anyway. Even 0-3, because you got, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, they're going down to play Dallas. And Dallas can't stop the run.
Yeah.
And Baltimore needs a win bad. And so that's going to be an interesting one to see if you know, Baltimore goes 0-3 and Dallas is another one, because it's going to be panic. It's going to be even more Panicsville, you know.
Yeah.
And I love Mike. What did Michael Parsons say? I wish people wanted as much as I do. I'm not saying anything about my teammates. What are you saying? It's already panic time. Y'all are 1-1.
You just said it.
Y'all are 1-1 down there, and they're already panicking.
It's great.
Goodness gracious.
It's great. That's one of the great things about the NFL season. It's so quick. Goodness Everyone freaks gracious. Out about everything. I'll say this. You're right. 0-3 probably isn't a death sentence in a 17-game season. But 2-1 with back-to-back wins over the Eagles and the Chiefs.
It's a nice start.
Hell of a lot more fun for you and me.
A nice start.
That's for sure.
A nice damn start.
This has been a more fun week than it would have been. That's for sure. All right. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending to kick off the show. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Trillville Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, it was kind of like we talked about in the beginning. When we got here, we looked at the team, and you had so many players that people wasn't giving enough credit to, in our opinion. And those guys are playing well, and they're playing fast, and they're playing physical, and they're playing the right way. And, you know, you always want to cut down your yards. You always want to get more turnovers. You always want to do these things. But it's a process during the season of getting better and better. And I feel this defense getting better even since I've been here, even with the additions of Simmons, the additions of Judon. These guys have been ready to play. The rotation that we got a bunch of people rotating in there and playing and contributing. And I've been really proud of the effort and the consistency that they've been able to play with throughout the season.
Yeah, that's Raheem Morris yesterday with Dukes and Bell talking about other Falcons-related things beside the quarterback and the final drive on Monday night. Obviously, a lot of the focus has been on Kirk Cousins, how he looked, how things got better from week one to week two, and all that kind of stuff. The defense has been pretty solid so far.
They've been okay.
Yeah. I mean, not great, no. But not terrible.
No, they given up with two touchdowns.
They gave up two to the Eagles?
They gave up two to the Eagles. But they had a rushing. They threw one, and then they ran for it.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think that's the only thing you can do is get these guys better. Grady's playing out of his freaking mind right now.
Grady looks awesome.
You know,
Judon, Bates looks awesome.
Bates, I mean, he is that dude. Three's unbelievable. That dude is everything that as advertised.
NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to be tested in a completely different way, going against a quarterback like this who keeps plays alive.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily keeps plays alive like Jalen. As far as the running ability, Pat can run now.
Right.
But he holds.
Jalen went for about 85 yards in that game. Pat's not going to do that.
Pat's not going to do that. But I think that the one thing you always got to know that the play is always alive. His movement in the pocket is second to none, and his eyes are always down the field.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you got these receivers. We already talked about how him and Kels, you know, they got this algorithm of, like, just amazing where I could just stop a route. And Pat knows I'm about to stop this route, and he can just throw it to him. You said something yesterday because he has not played like Kels. Don't let him play like him on Sunday night.
I hate that he hasn't started going yet because it feels like, I mean, it's coming. He's not going to go for 20 yards a game all season.
Right.
He's going to break out at some point. You just hate for that to be against you on Sunday Night Football, right? I mean, it's kind of the pass game in general right now for them. It's all, you know, Rashee Rice is in his second year, is kind of coming along, but still not proven, really know. Xavier Worthy is incredibly fast, had a great week one, couple touchdowns, but still not really sure how they're going to use him and, you know, how up to speed he is with everything they want him to do. Kelsey hasn't done anything yet, but at some point he's going to. I don't know. Hopefully it's another week of, man, they just can't quite get their footing, and it's partially because of what you're doing defensively. But at some point, this Chiefs offense is going to click.
Yeah, I think it's going to click. And right now,
I just hope it's not Sunday night.
I think a lot of it is just like last year, but their defense is playing. Their defense. They got dudes over there,
Their defense is incredibly good.
It's really, really good, and it's going to be hard to move the ball against them if you're the Falcons. You got to be really precise. You got to be able to stick with the run game. I think that's what was one of the big things in Philly was they stuck with the run game because it was working. Now, if it ain't working or it's not working as easily as it was in Philly, are you going to go away from it? Don't let Kirk just sit back there and drop back and all those different things because that's going to play right into the damn hands.
No.
It's going to play right into the hands.
We saw what, like, obvious passing down situations with a great pass rusher looked like week one.
Yes.
Right?
It ain't good.
Chris Jones is really good. If you keep getting in long third down situations, Kirk Cousins is going to be in trouble. Yeah. Did he get pressured or hit seven times week one, only twice week two? You saw the difference. That's a big part of why he looked so much better, not to mention the rust and all of that. I don't know how the Chiefs are against the run. I know last week they did pretty well against the Bengals, but the Bengals don't really have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar killed them. Now, obviously, Falcons don't have that.
Right.
Derrick Henry was okay.
He didn't get the ball enough.
Right. Again, that was week one, so they're trying to figure that out.
Right.
But running backs week one only averaged like 3 yards a carry against him. But again, that's a new offense with Derrick Henry.
Right.
Lamar killed him, but Kirk's not going to do that.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what their rush defense is. We're going to find out because Falcons are going to give the ball to Bijan a lot of times.
Yeah, they got
to
run.
Hopefully to Tyler Allgeier a lot of times.
They got to run the football. I think the biggest thing, and we talk about dominant pass rushers or dominant defensive players that Chris Jones is, it's all about where he's going to lie. You knew exactly where Watt was going to be at.
Yep.
You knew exactly where he was going to be at. And now, Chris Jones can play on the edge. He can. Now, the reason he whipped Baltimore's ass because, what's his name again? Thorngardner?
Roger Rosengardner.
That guy right there is whack. He's so bad, Andy.
Come on, man. He's
bad.
A rookie.
Andy. No, that what?
He's gonna get better
at what?
Blocking.
He need to get bigger.
He'll get bigger too.
That's what he needs.
He's getting the weight room.
Was he a guard at Washington?
He kind of played both.
Okay, because he looks tiny.
He's a good player.
He looks really tiny.
Great school, smart kid, good family. Leave him alone. God, what do you do to you? It's not like you're playing quarterback behind him.
I just hate looking at stuff like that. Like, damn, that's just bad.
I know.
Yeah, I think that so
Ben Cleveland's bigger than him, and he can't get on the field.
But they play different positions. We're reading that thing yesterday. Well, Ben Cleveland plays right guard.
I know.
Yeah, and so I think that Caleb McGarry should have a easy, not I won't say easy, but it shouldn't be like that because he's not going to get blown by Chris. The thing with Chris is big and he's very good with his hands.
Right.
And so
Karloftis is more Karloftis the guy that he's going to be worried about on the edge.
Exactly. And so we'll see what the plan will be for who's where and all those other things. But yeah, I think that, you know, the Falcons just got to build off of what they did. You got to be able to move the football. We talked about they won a lot on first down, especially offensively in the game on Monday night. They got to continue that trend. But I think you said it right. You can't let – and it's always – you can't say that about him because he's that great. Can't let 15 get going because he does. It's going to be a long damn day.
Yeah.
And they don't have the guys that he had last week. Remember that damn pass he threw to Tyreek last time they were here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he don't have him.
No.
Yeah, he don't have him.
But Xavier Worthy is really fast.
But he ain't him.
He's not. No, no.
He ain't him.
Don't confuse that as me saying that.
Yeah, he ain't him.
Nobody really is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's
70-yard duck.
It's one of those ones where, yeah, I know. Like, how can you throw it that far and it's not even a spiral?
70-yard duck.
But they're that offense that it just takes a little bit of rhythm. And then but obviously they don't have their running back. They don't have Pacheco. So they're going to be figuring out how to do that without him. Obviously he's a big part of what they like to do. So should be a great game. Obviously we got a lot of time to still break it down. And Joe Patrick will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. See what he's learned up there this week, talking to all the guys and Raheem and all that. A couple of other things to get to. Then we'll get back into what happened last night with the Braves. Lionel Messi was in town last night.
Yeah, man.
Played about half an hour. And that was the worst half hour that Miami played. Atlanta United looked awesome in the final half hour of that game.
That magical left foot,
they
baby.
They came back down 2-1. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The magical left foot.
No doubt.
I'm glad he played because, I mean, them people were there to see him play. You know, and
yep.
And so I'm glad he played because that would have been just horrible. And I think that he, like, damn, I don't want to, but all these people came to see me. So let me go out here and half-ass around. They just want to see me on the pitch.
Yeah, they don't care if I do anything.
They don't care if I do anything. They just want to see me on the pitch.
Break a sweat.
Yeah, but it was great for them to match the intensity because it intensified going into the second half, like you said. But, I mean, they found a way. I'm talking about Atlanta United. I don't know how to say his name.
Moranchuk.
I mean.
What a goal.
But you remember when Garth Lagerwey was on with us, he said that magical left foot.
It was. Yeah, I mean, that truly was a beautiful goal that he scored to tie the game last night. And Atlanta United had multiple opportunities late. They could have won that game.
They should have won
a couple balls
game.
At the post.
They should have won a game.
Yeah. I mean, like I said yesterday, they're Miami's kryptonite.
You did say that.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But they are.
I don't understand. It was crazy. Tata wasn't managing because of the accumulation of cards. I saw a great video of him and Guzan in after the game, which I thought was really, really cool and everything. But, yeah, they had it. But I think just the way I love how they were able to – because once the goal was scored, obviously there was all the people to see Messi, but it sounded like the crowd was a United crowd.
Yeah, it did.
I was listening to
Mike and Jason.
Yeah, it sounded like that.
By the way, Mike doing a solid Steve Holman talking about Messi last night. Oh, the great Lionel Messi. And he kept calling him the little guy and all that. Just a little shade at the star player from the other team.
Star
player. As Steve Holman always does with whoever is the star player on the other team, whether it's LeBron or whoever. Kind of fun. Anyway, what else happened? Thursday Night Football is tonight. You got the Patriots and the Jets. That's right here on the radio station. Oh, it's Trey Young's birthday today.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Trey.
There you go.
Yeah, man, happy birthday to
26? 26, probably.
Yeah, 26, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Happy birthday to Trey, man. All right, here's a home run from Marcell Ozuna.
For most people, came out of nowhere. Marcell Ozuna, high, deep, left center field, at the wall, and gone! The home run drought is over. He had not hit one in 26 games, and boy, did the Braves need that one. A big fly from the Big Bear to put Atlanta back in front, 2-1.
Yeah, back-to-back 100 RBI seasons.
Yeah, two homers away from back-to-back 40-hundreds,
yeah, man.
Too.
Yeah, man. I mean, I heard Duke Sabella, they were talking about it. Maybe he was just tired. Tired of carrying the whole damn team for a while, so he got tired. We talked about Michael Harris has been really – he's been so good since he's been back. And, I mean, damn, I just need him to be healthy. That's all. Just don't – Mike not get no freak hamstring or anything like that. This dude, he's an all-star player, man. He's an all-star player that, you know what, as long – if he's healthy, man, that's the ceiling for that dude.
Oh,
unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
No, I mean, Michael Harris could be one of the best players in baseball if he can put together a healthy season.
That's it.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to do that yet. But for our purposes now, just be healthy for the next 10.
That's it.
And then for, like, the month after that, if they can make a run past the next 10.
If Ozzie comes back – Where did he come? Because he had a nice rehab stint with Gwinnett.
Yeah, I would think
he'd come back this weekend,
pretty
right?
Pretty soon. Yeah, couple more days. Come
Friday?
Back on Friday.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So.
All right, there we go. So, I mean, we got a 1 o'clock first pitch tonight up there in Cincinnati. But, yeah, I mean, if you get Ozzie back, I'm not going to expect like something like miracle, but he is batting right-handed,
yep.
Which I love. And yep. So maybe he gives him a spark.
Hit a home run the other night in his first rehab start. I think it was 2-for-3 last night in his second rehab start. I mean, obviously he's better than Whit Merrifield or whoever else you have playing second base. So that's at least I don't know what he's going to be, but I know he's better than what you've had, right?
Yeah.
Now, if he can be himself, then awesome. You're injecting an all-star back into the lineup. And I don't know. Who knows? I mean, the pitching staff is good enough to get hot and go on a run. Michael Harris is really good. Soler can get hot. Ozuna's Ozuna. Matt Olson's awesome. Ozzie back. Like, it's not
impossible.
It's not impossible.
Right.
It's unlikely. It's unlikely.
It's not impossible
that the Braves could catch.
Come on.
I can't say. They could catch fire.
Okay. There we go.
Maybe.
Whoosh.
They might. You know, they don't have to catch just the – they could also catch the Diamondbacks.
I mean –
it doesn't have to be the Mets.
They don't got
to
be fire, man. They could be like, you know, where like an 8 on the stove dial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got hot, boiling hot, 9, and then you got 8.
Yeah, what does yours say?
It says
low,
yeah, low,
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, high.
High.
Okay.
And then power boil.
Yeah. Oh, you got power boil?
It's a power boil.
Oh, we don't have that. Yeah. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
I don't know that they can power boil. I don't know the Braves can power boil.
But 7, so you got to wait. If it's on a 7, you got to wait like a little time to be frying chicken.
Yeah, you got to wait a minute.
Yeah, you put it in a power boil, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether they can do any of that, but just win today. Chris Sale's on the mound. I think they can win today, right?
Oh, I mean, that could, 1-0.
Good enough.
Just don't hit DeMarcel.
Good enough.
Not Marcel.
Good
I'm
enough.
Calling Marcel because he feels like Marcel.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little college football. A very interesting slate of games on Saturday. ACC is trying to keep Clemson and Florida State, too. Good for them. We'll see if it works. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Truelville Thursday. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into all the news and notes from around the National Football League as Week 3 begins tonight. Patriots and Jets right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley going to join us at 12:20. We'll talk some Braves with him as they only have 10 games left in the season. Crunch time for sure. Down 2 to the Mets and the Diamondbacks for that third wild card spot. 10 games to go. Chris Sale on the mound today. Early start at 1 o'clock. We'll get to a little college football in just a minute as well.
All right, so yesterday was pitcher day, right?
Yes.
Today is a mixer. They call it a social mix, not a dance anymore.
Oh.
All right. Social mix, right, after school. And I thought about you because when you were – what was Bump and Grind?
Oh, yeah, like middle school.
Middle school. Okay,
yeah.
So it was middle school, but for sick birds only.
Mm.
And so we got the thing. And so and here are the rules. These are the rules that we got for the dance. This is for the sixth grade dance. And I have no clue what a lot of this is, except for this one thing. It says, first, no touching.
Oh.
Okay.
Well.
No inappropriate outfits.
Okay.
No inappropriate dancing. No disrespecting the volunteers.
Oh yeah, you don't want disrespect.
No making
anybody.
Fun of other students. No taking pictures of students without their permission, and no circle dancing. Now, I don't know what the hell circle dancing is, but I'm trying to think:
I'm familiar with square dancing.
Is it when like everybody's in a circle and one person's dancing in the middle?
Why would they want to ban that? Yeah, that seems like a cool thing.
You know
what
I mean? But yeah, so my boy working on he got his daddy's rhythm. All right, so I ain't worried about my boy cutting the rug and boogieing today. He got his daddy's boogie jeans.
And that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Okay,
great thing. Good. Daddy can boogie.
Good.
But I was like,
I know that. I was just making sure.
Yeah, no. Daddy's the McMichael boogie jeans.
I've seen you boogie.
Yeah, man.
I've seen you boogie.
It goes through the blood. But
hereditary.
So I thought about when I thought about it was you and y'all were playing Bump and Grind. I don't think they're going to play that here.
So I got a couple Bump and Grind instances,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So we had an end-of-the-year party in fourth grade,
uh-huh.
And I had the album at the house,
right.
12 Play,
yes, I remember
by
that.
R. Kelly,
yes.
Because my stepdad had it.
Yes,
I really liked R. Kelly at the time. I'll be honest, I still really like a lot of R. Kelly's music.
Right.
I know, you know, whatever, not don't support all the stuff he did, but some of the songs he made were awesome. So I brought the album to the end-of-the-year party,
okay.
And we put it in, and we didn't make it very long into that album before the teacher turned it off.
Yes.
Because we were a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Okay.
Then in middle school, mm-hmm. they played Bump and Grind at school
yes.
dances.
Yes.
And yeah, that's an opportunity. if you've never grabbed a butt before,
right,
to grab one.
But so they're not, no touching. So I'm assuming that you can't
dance. It's a
dance.
Real shame.
They don't dance no more anyway. I know it's going to happen. All the little girls going to be dancing. All the boys just like at the club, all the chicks be dancing, and all the dudes be on the wall looking at each other.
Maybe this is why, though. Maybe the schools are teaching them to not dance by saying nobody can touch each other.
That could be it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're teaching the kids when they get older to go to the club and not touch each other either.
Well, ladies dance. Fellas, y'all stand on the wall looking hard.
No, but that was the best thing. You'd go there and you could,
you knew you were going to get a slow dance. You were going to get a slow dance and you were going to get that rub.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing of middle school was to just catch that rub.
Right.
But now they just, let me see, no dancing, no circle dancing, which was odd.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't agree with that set of rules. And again, I don't want anybody to do anything bad or get in trouble
or anything like that.
Some of the other stuff, don't disrespect, don't take pictures of people without their permission. Right. That all makes sense. But, like, you know, we're in sixth grade now. It's time to learn.
Time to learn something?
Yeah. Because also, our dances were not sixth grade only. It was sixth through eighth.
See, there's
and that's
six.
A big difference in
there's just six
in who you are. Like, eighth graders and sixth, I mean, that's a transition
it
that
is.
You go through.
It is.
But, you know, sometimes eighth grade girls think sixth grade boys are good looking.
Really?
That, you know, in my case.
Oh.
And sometimes they'll come over, be a special kind of handsome,
right,
like me, and they'll dance with you. And then you learn more about what women are.
Oh, yeah, Doug. No, I mean.
You weren't, the eighth grade women weren't into you?
No, dude, I was still short, ugly and poor. Yeah, so, yeah.
I don't know what they saw. Yeah, I had a full cut.
Me too. I was still shout, had the bad haircut.
Probably all the game,
you know,
I had.
But then, you know.
All the game I was spitting out.
I spit no game. You know, I was, you know. I mean, mama spent a lot of money on that suit. Got one dance. One dance. And she was, woo. What?
It's okay.
It ain't nothing to write home about her.
That's okay.
That's all right.
It's okay. I got to start somewhere.
She's active too, dog.
That's good. No, not good.
I'm talking about smelling active.
Okay, I didn't know that's what
you meant. She's out there doing the Running Man hard the whole night. Swear they want to come dance with me in my new suit.
But if it's the only option.
That's the only option I had,
you got to do it. You got to do it.
Only damn option I had.
All right, so let's talk a little college football here. And I really actually do want to get to a couple of things because yesterday we got sidetracked by some good stuff, but we never got to the thing we meant to get to. Clemson and Florida State are going to renew talks with the ACC, and the ACC is basically like, all right, we'll give you more money. We'll give you more money.
Where the hell
if you
y'all going to go?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to buy their way out or whatever. But the ACC is like, if you guys just stay, you got to drop the lawsuit, first of all.
Right.
Drop the lawsuit. But if you stay, we'll talk about maybe a bigger piece of the pie.
Well, I mean, that's all they wanted, right, was money, right?
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about?
Yeah.
They're going to get more money?
As much as they want to act like, and maybe, I mean, I'm sure part of it is also the prestige of a better league, and if you go 13-0 now, you don't have to worry about that because you're 0-3 and you play in the ACC right now. So I wouldn't be worried too much about the prestige of your league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about trying to get into the playoff and all that kind of stuff. But again, I don't think either one of those teams has to worry about that with the way that their seasons have started between the two of them. But yeah, the ACC is like, all right, we can talk about a little bit more money. We'll see where that goes. All the conference, I don't know. All this conference realignment stuff is interesting because we're going to talk about it as it changes in real time.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know we're going somewhere much different than we're at right now.
Probably.
Right? It would be great if we could just speed up and get there. But for the time being, like, Cal versus Florida State is an ACC game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be true probably in 5 years.
No.
But right now, that's what the ACC is, and so that's what it is. Pretty good odds that Billy Napier is the first coach that gets fired in college football this season.
There's no doubt that it's just win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing with Napier is win. Because he's not going to make it through the season.
I wouldn't think that he would.
No.
I'm a little surprised that he's still the coach right now because they don't want him to be the coach
right now.
They don't.
That's what I'm like.
But it's a matter of doing it right and trying to get it right and not ruin everything.
But we asked Abe, we were like, who's on staff that could be the interim?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
No one.
And so is that why you're hanging on to him? But yeah, he's getting fired.
So what do they do?
Well, I mean, I can't. Going back to the conversation you had, it's still Florida. I know it ain't what it used to be, and mainly because they kept hiring the wrong damn people or firing. They should have kept Dan Mullen if they were going to go this route.
Probably, They probably should.
They probably should have kept Dan Mullen. But I mean, they have got to get, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there are any alums that are in the coaching game, like on a Kirby level when he left. No, there isn't.
No.
Do you try to go NFL? I don't know what NFL coach wants to be dealing with NIL now. You know, I mean, I don't know where they go. I mean, because it would be once upon a time that you would say, this is Florida, you go take somebody's coach.
Yeah, that's not true anymore. That's not true anymore. I mean, and that's clearly been the case because now this is the fourth straight coach. And I don't know if you can say Dan Mullen failed. I understand he got fired, but he won a lot of games.
He did.
And at least for a time had things going in a pretty good direction, but then things went bad quick and they got rid of him. And, you know, Billy Napier obviously hasn't been able to get it off the ground or change that direction.
Was that ever an exciting hire for Florida?
No, it wasn't an exciting hire.
Yeah,
but again, I don't know that that matters.
Right.
I think I get it does the day of, like the press conference for the fans and all that kind of stuff. But you look at the coaches that are successful in college football right now, not all of them were day one grand slam hires on day.
You gotta
go find somebody. And I think Billy Napier's actually a good coach. He'll probably go someplace else and have some success. I just think that there's a lot of struggles at Florida right now because of what life is currently in college football. They don't seem to have their NIL alignment, like the where the money's coming from, where the money's going, easily aligned. That's what makes a job good.
Why am I giving my money to that?
Great point.
Yeah, great point. Like, why am I giving my money to that?
Well, the argument would be because we need it so we can be better.
I get it. But that's what I'm saying.
Because if you don't, then we're going to suck.
But that's what I'm like. I'm sure when this NIL came out, they were giving them money, but it wasn't. You know, wasn't contributing to wins. So, like, hell, not get my damn money back.
Yeah, but from what you hear from sort of behind the scenes down there is there's just so many different voices, so many folks that want to have a say in it. It's just, you know, and again, that's what makes a job good right now. But I also don't know that all of that can be in line unless you have the right guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you have all of that in line, you probably already have the coach that you want because that coach went there and got it in line.
Would they hire John Gruden?
That would be a huge mistake.
He said
that would be so dumb if they did that. Why would that work?
I don't
like what would make anybody think that John Gruden, the college football coach, would be a good idea?
I have no clue.
Okay.
But I mean
You said it.
No, it was on paper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was on paper. It's on right there.
Yeah.
John Gruden says he's eyeing returning to coaching, but in the collegiate ranks.
And I wish him well.
Yes.
I wish him well. Yeah. If I'm Florida, that's not my
first choice. No.
I'm gonna go with somebody who's had a little success in college football
like who?
Ever. I mean, look. Obviously, they're talking about Lane Kiffin. That's outrageous.
Right.
Lane Kiffin has everything that you want in college football right now, which is the freedom to be Lane Kiffin and the funds to facilitate the roster.
Okay.
Right? That's what it is, isn't it? Isn't that what it is?
Yes.
I also think the 12-team playoff changes the calculus a little bit versus a 4-team playoff because you're right. Like, Florida's a traditional power. The recruiting footprint is better there than it is in Mississippi for sure. But, like, you can get in the 12-team playoff.
Yes.
Like, if you have some money and you have a roster. Like, Lane Kiffin's probably going to the playoff this year. So that changes things a little bit, too. So that I take that off the list. I don't think he would do that. I mean, Jamie Chadwell's had a lot of success.
Okay.
He was at Coastal Carolina. Now he's at Liberty. I mean, at least he's a guy who's had success in college football.
Eli Drinkwitz is the interesting one at Missouri.
Again, he may make the playoff this year at Missouri. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that Florida is Florida, or was Florida. I don't know that it is Florida anymore, but it was Florida. I think we have to kind of wrap our minds around what that is in college football these days. Like, what you were however long ago, these kids don't care about that.
No, they do not.
These kids care about winning tomorrow and getting paid today. That's what they care about. Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, you could get paid at Florida, maybe, if they get that stuff taken care of, but are you winning? Like, no you're not now.
And that the thing with the whole Eli, and I saw that this morning, was it's like, he built something in Missouri, but he was just about to be fired 2 years ago. So, is this more or less because of the talent that he has accumulated right now? Can they reload from the success he's had these past 2 years?
But that's a very similar thing to me as Lane Kiffin, isn't it?
But he's
at a place where he's doing well.
But the thing with Lane is, like, everybody just automatically assumes he's just going to come in and everything's going to be okay. That's why I said, where's Lane won?
I know, but he did take Ole Miss from kind of what it had been to now. They won 11 games last year or something like that.
Yeah. I'm not saying either way. Lane could coach his ass off, but people look at him like he is like that dude. And I just don't look at him that way.
No.
I don't.
Neither do I. But I understand why they would be eyeing him.
I understand
why they'd be eyeing Eli Drinkwitz, too.
I think it's more when I think about Lane, and I'm not taking it, because Lane can coach his ass off. He's a very good offensive coach and everything, but he has the players around him and everything like that. But can he Can Lane win a championship?
I don't know. But what I do know Lane can do is he can build a program into what a program needs to look like in college football today. He's got the boosters giving the money to the right people.
Are they going
to
do that in Florida?
I don't know. But Lane knows how to do it.
Yeah.
He went to Ole Miss and whipped that thing into shape in like 2 years, right?
Okay.
Like it is the prototypical college program now.
Yes.
The money goes to where you want it to. He gets to decide who gets it.
Now,
they go in the transfer portal. They get everybody they want.
I got a question for you with that whole booster thing. They need to win. They paid for this roster for Lane to win the championship this year.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, he's got to get it done on the field this year. But my point is, like, who knows
right.
if you can win a championship? There's three guys active in college football right now that have won championships, right?
So, like, Mac Brown's one of them.
So that being the standard for who you hire is pretty tough. What you need is somebody who can build your program into a machine, which is what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He's done. Kirby did it at Georgia. Obviously, he's won championships because of that. But the first thing he did was built it into a machine,
yeah.
a recruiting machine and a money machine, and he got laws changed, and he did all this stuff. You have to be a politician to be able to succeed in college
football.
You're damn
right you do.
And Lane can do that. That's it. I don't know if these other guys can. I don't know who can. It's a hard job to do. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.